Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is DJ Mama Soul. I'd like to bring you back to another episode with Salsa in the City with my co-host, Helena. How you doing, Helena?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mama Soul? Good to hear you. Good to see you. Good to vibe with you today. I'm so excited about today's topic.
Oh, word is born. It's going to be crazy. I'm so excited. I think it's going to be fire today. We got the battle of the salsa sexes. So it's going to be crazy. We got a guest speaker, Irene, going to be in the house from D.C. It's going to be off the chain. So, man.
How was your weekend?
Tell you, my weekend?
How was your weekend?
My weekend was all right. I almost got into a fight yesterday.
What? Don't tell me it was at the Salsa Underground.
Actually, it wasn't at Salsa Underground because I wanted to do that to my people, but it was in preparation. I was getting ready to get set up, and I'm going to tell you straight up, it was my fault. It was my fault. I was in the wrong, but what happened was, you know I'm going to have to tell you my side. What happened was... I was unloading my equipment, and normally when we unload and the bus comes through, because we park in the bus stop, the bus would just kind of just go around us and just, you know, let the people off or get the people on. So, but this time I was unloading and the bus was beeping his horn real hard, and he was like, I looked over to him and I'm like, damn, what's your problem? Cool. And he was like, move. So I looked at him like, okay, he's out of his mind. He kind of got like, he got like that. And, you know, honestly, I shouldn't be parked there even to unload because it is a park bus stop. But for him to act like that, you know, he started acting stank. And that's not going to help me. And, you know, my ego kicked in at that time. And I was like,
New York side.
Yeah, I said no. So he was like, you know, he just let the people in right behind my truck. So I unloaded because usually it just takes us a few minutes and all that type of stuff. So after he unloaded the people, I felt bad because at that time he took out the ramp and it was a handicapped person that he was trying to unload. And I was like, damn. And that's the reason why he probably wanted me to move, because if he couldn't let him out the way he usually let other people out, like a little step away from the curb, he had to go right up next to the curb. So I kind of felt bad, but at the same time, I still didn't like the dude. So, and he called me a sucker when he finished getting the people on, and I stepped to the bus, and I was like, you're a sucker. So it was kind of hype, you know, early on. But, you know, I kind of felt bad because usually that's not me. I'm usually, you know, a nice person, and he just went away. Maybe because
you did
really
release some of that frustration while you were at the Salsa Underground, right? I mean, I'm sure you released some of that frustration, got some killer moves or music put out there so everyone can dance. I'm sure you had a good time at the Salsa Underground at least, right?
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean... Salsa Underground, and I know I don't say this enough, but I just like to thank Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, DMV, for coming out, man, because usually that's how we do. You know, we come to the social for whatever cause. We may have some stress at home or at work or whatever, and we just come there to dance. And for me, it's the place. So I was able to release that stress, and we had a ball. It was crazy, and people showed out, and I just want to thank everybody once again. I don't say this enough, but thank you guys. Yeah, guys, been great. Also, thank you, Baltimore, because we had the white party with Salsa Now, and it was crazy there as well. I wish I was able to make it over at the reunion with Ronald.
I was there.
Oh,
I
heard it was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I had a performance prior, so I got there a little later, but I got there just in time for the shows. It was just a lot of people. It was a lot of good dances throughout the whole night. People taking breaks, going outside, catching some air. It felt like the old, like, Mr. Mambo's kind of feel, like in the studio.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, you know. You know, you got good sweat going on, and you're dancing, like, nonstop. You don't care, you know, that AC water is, like, dripping on you. It was a nice studio. The music was on point. I couldn't have asked for a better, you know, way to end the evening. So it was good. I heard they're going to have another one, so I'm excited about that.
Okay.
And then this time I'll probably try to get there earlier because parking, it was kind of hard to find parking in that area, so I just got planning to get there earlier. But yeah, I mean, September's a great month. I'm going to plug in that I'm having my event on the 28th for people who are listening in because I'll be doing that event at Unplugged. So I hope you know. I know you're not always in the area, but hopefully you can come down and hang out. But if not, you know, I'll just take a lot of pictures and show you some love from afar. But yeah, I got my event on the 28th. We got 2 performances, and I'm performing with Linda Zidoza, and I'm excited about that because it's our debut. So we got Yulia in the house, so I'm excited, super excited. There's a lot more events coming up this month. We got too many things going on in the DMV area, but yeah, super excited about that.
That's what's up. And on that note, I want to ask you, I mean, you know, since we're talking about the Socks of Sexes and the Battle of the Sexes, and is it better to be a male promoter or instructor, or is it better to be a female promoter or instructor? I mean, you do both. So how is it like being a female? Do you feel like you had a disadvantage, or you think it comes easy, or you had advantage? What's your take on that, Helena?
Well, honestly, on the promoter side, if you're just promoting an event, then you know, you're doing a night, I think it goes both, you know, you have a good advantage on both ends as far as male or female if you have a good personality and you're a people person. So with that being said, I have really good male promoters and good female promoters in this area and other places. As an instructor, I feel that you, for a female, you just got to prove yourself because, you know, we're known as followers. But for most students, especially in venues or regular club venues, they're usually used to seeing a male, you know, or a male and a female instructor or the male instructor. Mm-hmm. So me coming in as an instructor, I got to step up to the plate and prove myself and be confident in what I'm doing. And let everyone know I can do both parts. You can ask me a question, I can answer it. You can ask me how to do a move, I can show you. I have to come in there being confident. And the owners are going to look at that as well. But they're typically used to, you know, having male instructors. So it's a little harder, but I feel that if you keep trying, you're going to get, you know, then you'll get that, you know, that recognition and reputation, and then it just gets easier and easier. But it's not as easy as I would think for a female than it is for a male instructor.
Now, you know, I know you, Helena. I know you for a while. You're my homegirl. But, you know, you doing your thing, you know, and, you know, you're a great promoter and you're a wonderful dancer and a wonderful instructor. But as a guy, if I come in and I come to your event, I'm gonna be like, okay, teach me, teach me. But it's like for us, we have, you know, guys. A lot of us, we have this two track mind. We're like thinking, man, she's bad as ish, you know. So I'm gonna use salsa as a way to really, I want to talk to you. I'm using salsa in a way to get to know you, but really, I want to get to know you. So
you know,
have
what?
A problem with, uh huh.
So that's funny that you say that because, again, I really like teaching. I like having group classes. I like having the opportunity to even have, you know, a company that can teach or just mentor or just private or whatever. I love teaching, and I feel because I'm a female, I do get approached by students who are just wanting to try to ask me out. So they'll use the lesson as a way to get in there, and they'll probably just go through that one lesson, and then, like, next thing you know, they're trying to ask me out to dinner soon. And that's not my mentality. That's not something I don't try to mix business with pleasure. I had one guy, I'm not joking, who pretended that he didn't know how to dance and took a lesson from me. At the end of the lesson, then he was like, oh, yeah, so you have a dance company. I was like, yeah, oh, show me some of the stuff that you do. And then at the end of the lesson, he was trying to tell me he can help me with the choreography and help me with the stuff that I was doing. Yeah, and the funny thing is he still needed to keep taking lessons. Like, he wasn't good with his timing. There was I seriously thought, you know, he definitely needed more. But I was insulted that he used that as a segue because, you know, if you really want to ask me out, just ask me out. Don't sit there and use me teaching you as a way to get in there. But I feel like that's kind of one of the things that we deal with as female instructors. And, you know, I think for the guys, you know, they probably have a good way of meeting girls that way. But I don't like it personally. I really don't. I don't appreciate it. So I get that a lot,
Wow.
It's a little frustrating,
well,
but I
try
to smile about it and, like, rub it up, you know, like, just, like, forget, you know, that it happened.
Well, you're a beautiful woman, Helena, and unfortunately, guys, just that's what they're all about, because when they walk in and they go to unplug, they be like this.
Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say, looks or no looks or whatever, I'm just saying, you know, as someone who wants to just go in their mentality, business mind, you know, I'm teaching you, they don't go in there trying to sit there and try to get a date out of it. I mean, like, again, if you want to ask me out on the dance floor or ask me out at the Fendi, but don't use that as a way of getting to, I know, get on my better side. I don't know. That to me is just not, I'm not cool with that. So.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. But let's go ahead and bring Irene Holtzman, because I think when I talked to her, it sounded like she was driving. So let's go ahead and bring. I hope she's being safe too. Don't drive and be on the phone.
Oh yeah.
So let's bring on Irene. Irene, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're actually somewhere safe, right? You're not, like, you know. Somewhere where you can actually have this conversation.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm sitting in the car outside my studio right now. I was driving, but I knew I planned on being here early so I could talk to you without getting into a car accident. So, yes, totally safe.
Cool. Well, I don't know if anybody, those who are listening, Irene, she's been one of the main instructors in this area since, I don't know, she's who I knew when I was first coming in this area back in 2003. She directs or co-directs the Clavacazi, and she does everything underneath the sun as far as the D.C. Congress, helps or promotes and runs D.C. Congress with Shaka. She runs the Kazike and Clavacazi studio. So she's got a lot of hats that she wears, and she's doing it well. But I know she's been doing this for a long time, so we were really excited to have you on here because, again, you're a female instructor, and I know for a fact, you know, for those who are just starting out or are maybe even considering going getting into maybe starting their own company or being a promoter or starting to teach or maybe getting offered, we want to know, like, for you, especially when you were first starting out or in your time as you've been teaching and growing, what are some of the challenges that you've experienced as an instructor?
That's a great question. I think for people who are starting out, whether you're male or female, it's just really important to have a good, I would say before you start teaching, having a really good hand on your fundamentals, but then also making sure that you have adequate mentorship. And so I'm really fortunate. I came to teaching salsa, but I was already a teacher by trade, an elementary school teacher. And so there's a really big difference between being able to dance well and able to teach well. But also I was fortunate to have a bunch of people in my life. My very first instructor, Jerry Dembrack, who's also an educator by trade, and then later as I was dancing on two with Shaka, somebody who not only was with me when I was teaching, but able to give me feedback on my teaching so that I was continuously learning and improving. And then I also think staying committed to being a student, like a student forever. You know, there are people who are professional ballet dancers who are still in class every day and also dancing, you know, like main dancers in ballet companies. And I think that, like, people, there's a, not pervasive, but there's a substantial number of people who sort of like, now that I can teach, I can stop taking class. And that's not the case. Every time I have the chance to learn from somebody, I take that opportunity. I can take something away from every class.
Have you had any challenges, you know, especially just going out there and just people taking you seriously as a female instructor, or maybe in the venues? Club venues, I'm sure you've taught many club venues. We've all taught club venues. Or just in general, like, have you had any challenging experiences? Because some people say they don't get taken seriously. Other people say they have a great experience. So have you had any of those experiences?
Yes. I think that for female instructors, a lot of that has to do with, like, what assets you choose to lead with. It's really hard. There's sort of like an inverse relationship with like how hot you are and being taken seriously. Like people can't sort of write their mind around the fact that somebody who's really gorgeous can be really competent. Fortunately, I don't have that problem. And so I think people are like, oh, well, she must know what she's doing because she's not out here like trying to look like a model. Which is not to say though, that there isn't a substantial amount of like machismo in the salsa scene. I think in general, I found that in venues that are, there are some Latino-owned venues where they wouldn't have hired me to teach if I hadn't had a male partner. And I think also in clubs too, like when you see women dancing with women, a lot of times there are men who like want to break in and I'm like, no, I'm already I'm already dancing, right? I don't need you as a partner. But I think the most important thing is staying committed to quality and staying committed to your craft. And if one place is not the right fit in terms of like whether or not they're willing to see dance leadership from a woman, then keeping, you know, staying knocking on doors until you find the right place. Because I also think when people, like, I don't know if I necessarily would try to get someone to take me seriously if they didn't take me seriously off the bat. Like, there's a lot of fish in the sea, and so each instructor venue pairing is not necessarily the right one for every instructor.
Yeah, that's true. I've actually experienced that where the machismo, where they would rather work with, you know, a male and a female versus just a female. And it just was one of those things where, like, it wasn't, you know, you're going to have one or the other or both, whatever. So I've actually dealt with that before. And, you know, after a while, they kind of get used to it. But in the beginning, it's always, like, a challenge. I've had some that they just really like it and they don't even care. They're just, you know, we want salsa and that's fine. But, yeah, I agree with you. How about as far as, you know, when you're doing, you're a promoter, so do you have any challenges as far as being a female promoter versus what we were saying, like, which is better, female or male? Because I feel like, you know, it depends. I feel like both can run it well, but have you had any challenges with that? Especially if you're dealing with venues or studios or in general, other promoters in general. Like, have you had any issues with that or no?
I've got to keep it real. Like, I am actually not much of a promoter. And that is a decision. Well, no, but my role with the Capitol Congress, right, is working with the artists. And so while, yes, like, I sort of promote it as a byline because I'm involved and I love it and I believe in it and I think it's one of the best dance events in the country. Like, I think that's natural. But in terms of if someone was like, hey, you know, I want you to promote this event for me, I have like a dozen other people I would send them to. mostly because mostly because I go to my day job, right, and then I go and teach at the studio at night, and then I run my team, and then usually if I'm not doing one of those three things, I'm, like, asleep in my bed trying to, like, catch up, right? I do think when you're talking about nightclub promotership that there are some assumptions people make about women who are, like, in the street promoting a venue, and that can make it really difficult. You know, people mistake friendliness for something else frequently, and so I feel like there are risks associated with that, with talking mm-hmm. to strangers, particularly strange men, that men don't deal with, and that's sort of just part of, like, I don't know, the sexist slash, you know, I'm probably taking it a step too far, but, like, when we talk about the way women protect themselves in public, I think that can be a challenge. You know, perfect situation, like, you can be out flyering cars until 3 o'clock in the morning and, like, having conversations with people as they leave other venues, and that's mm-hmm. not something that I think you certainly don't want to do that by yourself if you're a woman, just in terms of general safety. And so you either have to run with a crew or make sure you have some backup to do that kind of stuff. But the rest of it, I mean, I think being a friendly, good-looking female face is probably an asset.
That was a lot of good information that you just, like, I never even thought of it that way, but that was really good. Thank you so much for your feedback. Bumble Soul, where you at? Do you have anything you wanna ask her? She's given us a lot of good food for thought, for sure. Bumble Soul? Did we lose him?
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you coming in. You are, first of all, you are awesome, awesome instructor. You know, you help us in Salsa Underground, and for those who don't know, Irene is our house instructor for Salsa Underground, so if you want to take lessons with her, come check us out from 5 to 6. She'll be holding it down. Now, Irene, once again, you're an awesome instructor, but what differences do you show compared to some of the other male instructors that, especially the guys, you know? The guys, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm coming in and I will see you, you know, we're visual, you know what I'm saying? We're usually, a lot of us come in there not to really dance, but to really meet a woman. And this is things that you kind of stepped on earlier. But as far as on a skill set, the guys that really want to learn how to better their skills or just learn how to dance, do you see a difference between how they react towards you and react towards a male instructor?
So I think there's two parts to that question. Number one, I will just say to anyone who's listening to the show who is not yet a salsa dancer and has their heart set on, like, a really good female dancer, men, if you are not committed to, like, getting a couple of years of experience under your belt, that is a slow road to impressing a woman. Because the truth is that, like, a couple of classes, you impress somebody who's never seen salsa before, but you're certainly not impressing somebody like Helena, who's an experienced and accomplished dancer. So that's number one. This is not a quick way to meet women.
Yeah.
I think in terms of my instructional style, one of the things that I think is a huge value for female instructors is that we're the ones who are experiencing the lead all the time. And so a lot of times, like, men think they're communicating one thing through their lead and it's actually another. And so one of the things that I focus on is the way that a lead needs to make a follow feel safe and cared for and not be creepy, which I think sometimes, you know, guys try to put on the, like, the Antonio Banderas, and they end up coming off, like, either cheesy or, like, super creep show. And so I like to talk about, like, how to appropriately ask a woman to dance, how to take her out to the dance floor, how to make sure you're not, like, clawing her back, that you're not using your thumbs, things that, like, really lead to sort of, I talk about the difference between yoga pants and leather pants, that most women want their lead to feel like yoga pants, something comfortable they put on, as opposed to something they got to kind of hop into when they're sweaty. And so I think men, once they start listening to sort of that narrative, they have a better understanding of, like, what they should be doing on the dance floor in general. But that being said, it takes a long time to hone your skills. And, like, if that's your like, methodology of getting a woman, you better really like to dance, because it's going to take a while.
Yeah,
One thing, Irene, and mm-hmm. I noticed that sometimes women have an advantage. I mean, because as a man, and we're coming in learning how to dance off, we have this testosterone thing going on where if we see another man, we kind of comparing John's, like, okay, I'm watching him and he's watching me, and I want to know who got better skills. And if we go to a male instructor, we may not be as open because we don't want to show our flaws. We don't want to show how weak we are. We don't want to seem like we're kind of like lesser of a person if we go to a man instructor. But if we go to a woman instructor, the woman could break us down. They could kind of like, you know what, let me show you this. And be like, okay, thanks. You know, we kind of like, because we feel like that one-on-one, we get, you give us that little attention, especially some of us mama boys. We kind of like, okay, thank you. So in those respects that you have a sort of an advantage, what you think about that?
You have me cracking up in the car because, like, I can completely see that in some cases, but there's also, like, a huge class of men. Helena, you've got to have experienced this before. Like, I joke all the time about how, like, I won't do lessons with Dominicans because I love them to death. But, like, literally, they do not want to take instructions from women. You can be like, look, step forward on your left foot, and they literally will step back on their right, like, just to show you who's boss. So I think that depends on... Yeah, I think it depends on the man himself, right? There are some who are going to want sort of like a male role model to hear it from a man's perspective. There are others who are going to take instruction much better from a woman. And when people are seeking out classes, I think they have to think carefully about what it is that they want. I know some men who like don't like when I teach, I like to lead the men sometimes to let them experience what I should be experiencing as they lead me. And there's a couple who are like... Yeah, and there are a couple who are like, after that, they won't come back because they don't want to be led by a woman, right? And so I think people have to, not every instructor is right for every student. I can only teach from where I am. I'm a woman. I'm going to be a woman forever. So I appreciate those people who put their trust in me. But I think everyone has to pick, like, what's right for them.
So he does have a point, though, because, you know, we will get handled by some of those guys with the hard grips. And I think my shoulder's gone out a couple times where I actually get afraid, you know, with the next dance. But she's right. You know, we actually know how to tell or what we're looking for as a follow when it comes to a lead. And we can actually tell them when they're doing something wrong versus if a guy is only teaching the lead part and just telling the girl she just needs to, you know, turn or, you know, back step or whatever, he's not showing everything that he needs to know. So, or he's not there to feel what the guy feels like when he's leading this girl. So he might not see that he's doing a little too rough. So is something
okay.
That...
Wait a minute. So y'all talking about these women. I'm going to represent these guys because, you know, we have Irene and Helena. Y'all both beautiful ladies. I'm going to represent the guys, and I'm going to see this. Okay, first of all, when we come out and start dancing, you know, we got more responsibility. We gotta know your timing. We got to know our own timing. We got to anticipate the moves. We have to compensate for the follower or the ladies, because I'm just generalizing because, you know, sometimes men could follow as well. But, you know, at the same time, we have to, and women could lead as well. We have to, you know, anticipate and plan ahead about moves that we're going to do. So, y'all ladies, y'all in the back seat. Y'all just chilling like, okay, just take me. Paint that picture of me. Make me beautiful. And we got to do all the hard work and the labor, and we have to put this masterpiece together. What's up with that, ladies? What's going on?
First of all, yeah, Irene, go ahead and answer that question.
Okay, so A... I disagree. With great power comes great responsibility. Like, yes, you have a lot to do, but also you have all the agency, right? So if you're on a sticky spot on the floor, like you can decide whether or not to turn. If you're not feeling like the space on the floor you're in, you can move to another space on the floor. The woman has to, I shouldn't even say the woman. I'm going to say the follower because, you know, I really like to keep the language of lead and follow gender neutral. But the follower steps into that dance conversation and really has to trust that the lead is going to do what's best for them, right, and surrender to that. And there's a mindset there that is much more challenging. I tell people this all the time. I'm a huge control freak, and learning how to follow for me was, like, so personally painful, and it took me a long time before I felt like anything kind of good. And it's because I really had to let go of all the anxiety I had about another person not caring for me as I'd care for myself. And I think that's a big step for most follows. And so, yes, the leads have a lot of responsibility and they have to do a lot, but the follower has to be, like, totally there, totally present, and totally willing to, like, go along with whatever craziness the lead's proposing. And that's a huge commitment also. So I think it's – I wouldn't say it's harder, but I would say it's of equivalent difficulty.
Mumble soul. We have to keep y'all on time. No. I got this.
No. Mumble soul.
What?
I had a good lead – spin me into one of those guys with the big, you know, the passes out the roses. He had a bundle. He must have had 12 or something in his hand. And this guy was a pretty good lead. And I thought we were doing really well because, you know, he was doing pretty good, but he did not seem to pay attention. And I surrendered all my trust to him, thinking that I was good to go. And then, like, he spun me into those roses, that little bundle of roses, and I got a couple thorns. So I've had that experience. It's a little bit of paranoia for me when depending on the person. So Irene's right. They don't. Some leads won't pay attention to all the whole surrounding. And if there's water on the floor, which actually happened to me at the event this weekend, if there's water on the floor and they're good to spin, and you wearing those heels or whatever, depending on how slippery on the floor is, you're completely, like, thrown into three or four spins on that puddle of water, and you're just hoping that you can, you know, keep your balance and not fall over. So what she said is true. Like, it's a lot for us to sit there and just completely trust you that you're going to...
What I'm saying is that it's not that you don't have any responsibility, that you have no control. You do have to protect yourself, but when it comes down to guys and women dancing... there's a lot of things we have to take in consideration. And I didn't even mention about the safety and protecting you from the slide and protecting to somebody else that's next to us that might hit you, along with trying to make you have a wonderful time, experience, make sure that you're on time, and make sure that we're following the follow or the lead so that we won't hurt you in the process. And then, you know, the ladies is like, okay, well, protect me, take me there, paint this pretty picture. And it's nice to be in that seat, you know. I like to be, you know, sit back and chilling and everything. But at the same time, yes, there's some responsibilities that ladies have to follow as well. And then, and on top of that, let's go back a little bit. How about, you know, we have to ask the lady to dance, you know. And then, you know, unfortunately, some of us are not.
No, you don't.
No. So we do have to. No, yes, we do. We do. A lot of people have
so
this way of chivalry.
We have
a lot of women.
We'll be sitting in the sidelines.
A lot of women
line.
Have
what
this
about?
Chivalry type of feeling when they go to the salsa event. Because I have to tell them all the time, ladies, it's okay to ask a guy to dance, because some of them are old fashioned. They want somebody to pick them, to take them to the dance floor and say, would you like to dance? And then they were like, oh, thank you. And then if they don't, somebody didn't dance with them. I had somebody that text, that wrote something on Facebook saying, I left because nobody asked me to dance. You know, so, and then we do, there's some guys that do ask them to dance, and then sometimes we can't dance with everybody, number one. And number two, sometimes some of us is just shy ourselves. You know, some guys are new to salsa scene, especially when the more experienced dancers, we kind of take a back seat and kind of watch. But we have to ask the ladies to dance and grab on the dance floor and say, hey, let's go ahead and dance and make sure they have a good experience. Because I'm not going to lie, if I'm going to come on the dance floor and I see you, Helena, you're a wonderful dancer, I'm going to be intimidated. I mean, you're beautiful, wonderful dancer. Irene, beautiful, wonderful dancer. I'm going to come up here and I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to ask them to dance. And I'm intimidated. I'm nervous. I'm, you know, because I have to take this responsibility and, you know, I don't know if I could do the same thing that this other guy made you to do, so I'm a little bit hesitant. So, ladies, you know, you got it good there. You got it good. You don't have to take that initiative and get these guys. You know, you're not in the wrong. I never see a guy that come up on Facebook and saying, well, nobody asked me to dance. I never saw that. It's always some lady that said, well, I didn't go because they didn't ask me to dance. And I'm like, oh. Here we go. So
I don't
think
you guys should go on Facebook and complain about that without being joked on. Just saying. No one's going to sit there and complain about that.
I was going to say, Sean, if being a leader stresses you out so much, you know, I can teach you how to follow, so you could experience some of the other side if you'd like. You are a tall drink of water, so it might be difficult for my petite self to get my hand over your head, but I'm pretty sure I could get you there. I think there's a lot of legacy, like gender role stuff between leads and follows. But really, if you look at the friendliest places to dance, and I'm going to give Salsa Underground a shout out here, right? In those places, you see, I would say, I think, an equal number of men and women asking each other to dance. I will honestly say that as a follow, if I'm traveling outside my home city where people don't need me, because I'm at this point old and married and not like a tall, skinny stick, and sometimes I go dancing in sweatpants because I'm lazy, it takes me a couple dances before I can get people to ask me to dance, right? I spend a substantial amount of time asking people to dance. Once we get dancing, they're pleasantly surprised, right? But if they're judging a book by its cover, like, there's a decent probability that if I just went in there and sat down, like, I wouldn't get asked either, and I've been dancing nearly 20 years now. So I think it's, you know, you talk about the guy's responsibility, but I think if we want to have a really great, thriving dance scene, that falls on both leads and follows, just to create an atmosphere where people feel comfortable saying, hey, you know, I see you, let's dance, you're sitting down, I'm sitting down. And I think the Salsa Underground has done a great job of that. So that's one of the reasons I love being there so much.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Irene. And, you know, I'm just going to say this, okay? First of all, Irene, you're not old. I heard you say that. You're not old because you know why? I'm not old. And I know I'm older than you, so I'm not old, you're not old, okay?
I just need one of those 19-year-old cuties running around, you know. I'm not a baby anymore.
Well, that's all right. So real quick, because, you know, I know we got you for, I told you 15 minutes and probably went over that time, but real quick, Irene, how did you get started with dancing? I know you was part of Kamikazes, and then you became an instructor. How did that all come about?
Well, I started dancing because my college sweetheart and I, right before we broke up, got into a fight about which one of us could dance. And so when we broke up, I was like, I'm going to go take lessons, and I'm going to be the one who can dance. And that is exactly what happened. In terms of Kamikaze... Yeah, so early in the day, by the time I met Shaka, I was already teaching with my instructor, but we were sort of talking about what was missing in the DC scene, and at that point, there wasn't really a solid onto dance company, and so we were a bunch of friends who loved dancing together and were interested in seeing, you know, we had dance friends from other cities who had dance companies, you know, Caribbean Soul, Santo Rico, who we were taking classes with on the weekends sometimes. And so we were like, you know what, we should try doing this for ourselves. And so that's Shaka, myself, Sai, and a couple other folks, Terrence Kimbrough, Tracy Smith, Monica La Vega, Rana LeBlanc, came together to form this dance company, which at the time there was really only, there was like one or two other dance companies in D.C., not like now. And it was a great experience. And then later on, the folks people know, Eddie and Vianette and Luce, you know, taught and performed together for many, many years, and then tried to figure out, you know, Miami, how to keep that together, which consisted of me continuing to run the studio and the student teams. And now that he's back, we'll see what happens with everything. But it's been a great ride, and one of my greatest joys is teaching. I've been really blessed to be able to share my love of salsa with all these people.
Isn't that how the Congress got started, the DC Congress? Because it was all you guys having all these epic house parties back in the day. I think I saw videos at one of Shaka's congresses where you showed actual videos of people, everybody that we know now, back in the day, you know, tearing it up on some hip hop or old school in the house. And I think they said that's how they decided to put a congress together. Wasn't that how that started?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a combination of two things. Shaka was known for having these ridiculously epic house parties where we'd have people coming, like, not just from D.C., but the Masacote folks and Ache Machete would come down from Boston, and we'd have folks from Jersey City and from New York, just a really great atmosphere to dance. And at the time, those were sort of the beginning days of congresses, and Shaka was like, you know what, I'd really like to be able to have this someplace bigger than, like, the 400 square feet of my living room. And so after talking to David Melendez, David agreed to help Shaka start the DC Salsa Congress. And so this point, at, I think we're lucky 13 this year, right? So back in 2003, that was the first year. And it was a wonderful extension of sort of, you know, a lot of people who come to the Capitol Congress talk about what a friendly event it is, how everybody dances with everybody, how it's big but it feels small. And I think that really is a holdover from the house party days of the early 2000s.
Wow. Yeah. I was cracking up when I saw the videos. Because there was a lot of people that we know, Mumble Soul, in those videos. And like, oh, my God. You know, just everybody you can think of that, you know, probably, like, left the scene, got married, or some people were still in the scene. Were actually, I think I even saw something with you in there, Irene. I can't remember. But it was
probably
parents. just a lot of stuff that I saw. I was like, wow, that's crazy, Orlando. Everybody was in that. It's pretty funny. And that's, to know that that's how the Congress started was, like, it's kind of a great story, you know?
Yeah, we're just
and
lucky
so
it was
Irene,
before the days of social media. Go ahead. Sorry, I was just saying we're lucky those were before the days of social media because there were a lot of shenanigans at those parties.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
sorry, Irene. I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't mean to. I'm too
no,
apologize. You're good. Now, real quick, I meant to ask you. So now you got Hazike, and you have your own dance team, of course, and your own dance school. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Clavicazi Dance Studio, alive and well. We teach out of the lab in Tacoma Park, D.C. Our open classes are Mondays and Wednesdays at 8, and right now I teach those with some help from people in Cacique. Cacique is officially like the semi-pro team of Clavicazi, and we have both them and a student team. We actually have coming up on Thursday, October 6th. And it's a great opportunity. Like our teams, one thing that we're really known for is building strong technical dancers, both social dancers and performers. So people can come, even if they don't think they want to perform, and like over a period of 6 months, just really up their level by having a committed group of people to practice with and train with. And even if they don't make it to the stage, although most people after 6 months really want to get on stage, it's a method that works. So over the past 11 years, we've put over 300 people on stage, like some of them who could barely do a basic when they got to us. And it's one of the things that I was really anxious when Shaka moved because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But with the help of Eddie Thurston and Nelson Gonzalez and my husband, Edwin, we've been able to like sort of continue that tradition and continue building those strong dancers through that program. We love it.
Awesome. Yeah. I remember when we had, I think I was actually doing the student team before I went to Germany, and I ended up getting deployed, so I never actually finished it. I think I was in there kind of hanging out for like maybe a month or two, and then I had to back out and go to Germany. And then I saw like you guys used to have numbers like 3, 4, 5, 6, crazy 8 or something, sin 6, sin something. You had all these different names for the teams that you kept producing, which was pretty cool. Yeah, I remember that. And that was at the firehouse in D.C.
Yeah, it was. We were naming them after movies. And by the time we got through 23, we literally stopped being able to find any more movies to name the teams after. So that's when Shaka and I figured out Cacique because we were like, we literally can't get one more name for the team. So that's how that happened.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mambo, still you there?
Yeah, I'd like to thank you, Irene, for coming out and sharing some crazy knowledge about your experiences, and I thank you very much for calling in. You got anything more for Irene, Helena?
No, I really enjoyed having you on the show. Thank you so much. I know you've got a busy schedule, but and I know you're about to teach like in the next 15 minutes, so we really appreciate that you actually made time to get on the show for us. We really enjoyed having you. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome,
yes.
Irene. Real quick, is there anything that you want to share or anything you want to like give anybody your information on how to reach you?
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TK Dance Studio, or you can always find me on there, Irene Holtzman, or through the Capitol Congress website. We're already taking calls for artists, so that's second week of June. And our auditions for the team, again, are Thursday, October 6th, here at the lab in Tacoma Park. Would love to see people there.
Awesome.
Well, thank you very much. Irene Holtzman, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was up. Irene dropped some crazy knowledge, man. It's really a pleasure having her on. I'm telling you, man, we got people on hold. I want to hear some of the people. So if you're listening right now, call us. The telephone number is 929-477-2764, and let your voice be heard. Let's know what you think about who has it better, the ladies or the men. What's up? So, Helena, what's going on, man? We got Irene, who's an instructor and promoter. I want to hear DJs. I want to see some of those DJs. We got a couple of DJs out there. Emily from Virginia, D.C. We had Dixie out there in Ohio. We also have Maya Soul, who is also from New York, some of the lady DJs. So call in, ladies. I want to hear what y'all got to say, because I know y'all had I got stories to tell me. But at this time, I got another caller.
Yeah, call in, Emily, because we definitely want to hear from you.
Actually, Emily, got a call
coming. Married to one of the DJs in the area, Hercules. DJ married to a DJ.
Matter of fact,
sure.
I think I got her come. I think I got her right here. Hold on a second. Hey, Emily, how you doing? Welcome to Salsa in the City. What's going on?
How are you? Yes, Helena, I did call in. She's blowing my phone up, and I'm like, I've been called in.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Wait, I also have a special guest. Hold on. I
got to
do a special guest. Hold on.
Mambo Soul, what's going on? And Helena.
What's up, Hercules? Yes.
Hercules,
the battle is on.
Hercules.
What's going on, Cool Herc?
Still having to catch me at home.
Wow.
And he just got home, like, not even 10 minutes ago.
Yo, I just want to
I'm still working. She's
Emily.
Making me work.
Whatever.
I want to give some love to Emily.
So the women got it good, got it better.
Right.
Oh, she got it great.
Right.
right. Emily, her and I used to perform back in the day. She didn't love me at first, but, you know, I grew on her. I was her maid of honor.
You always got to throw that.
Yeah, she didn't love me at first. I don't even think she knew who I was. She went to my birthday party, but she didn't even know who I was when she went.
I didn't know who you were. Can you please tell the right story? Tell it correct.
I mean,
I was invited to your birthday party. You had just joined the group, which I wasn't even aware of the fact that Rana brought you into the group. She just said, hey, we're going to Helena's birthday party. And I said, who? So, yeah, she's in the group. She is? I was like, okay. So Helena always paints this picture as if I didn't even like her at first. First of all, I didn't even know you.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I don't even
know who this is, but I'm going because Rana is telling me to go to your birthday party. So please,
you know,
tell
Rana
it right.
Was the first thing. Rana was the director of our dance company. She's who I looked up to as far as, you know, how I run my dance company and how she kind of created, like, this family environment. So I learned from that, and I actually use that with, I'm usually like a mommy to my kids, you know, my teammates, and I'm always doing stuff with them together and saying, hey, we're going to go to this person's birthday party, we're going to do a birthday, whatever. So I learned that from my experience with a loud dance company. But Emily, I remember her when she was DJing. Like, she was, you know, she was DJing at the clubs and everything, I think to congresses, and I thought to myself, like, wow, I don't really see a lot of female DJs, and I think I might have seen maybe one in Europe or twice too. But to see somebody that's, you know, holding it down doing salsa was something that was, like, really foreign to me. And knowing that I actually knew her personally, and, you know, seeing how she was doing, you know, trying to get her name out there, I just felt like she's a strong person. She's great. I always used to, wherever she would go DJ, I would go to support because I love, you know, hearing her DJ. But I feel like, you know, women do have it harder than men when it comes
yeah.
to being a DJ.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Emily, I want your take on that. because I know.
I mean, definitely part of that is true. I think a part of it also is just how you put yourself out there, how you market yourself. So yeah, there were times where it was definitely difficult for me because, you know, I had to try to put my name out there. So, you know, especially at one Congress I'm not going to put out there where I just said, all right, just let me play for a few minutes, like 30 minutes, an hour. I'm not going to charge, just trying to put myself out there. And I'll never forget after, the second, third song, this other DJ came up and he said, all right, your next song's your last song, and I'm next. I'm like, but the promoter just told me I had an hour. It's just things like that, things that I had to face. And it was a bit challenging, you know, especially when you're going up with, because it is a male-dominated industry. So it was definitely challenging, but I think a lot of it also, especially as a woman, is how you market yourself and how far you really want to take it. So, yeah, it was definitely, it was challenging, but what also helped me continue with the passion of DJing and with the music was Eileen Torres, who gave me the opportunity to DJ at, then Zanzibar. And to be honest, I honestly was not going to do it. I was just that nervous. And my friends were telling me, no, you cannot turn this opportunity up. You cannot turn this up. So I actually took it, and I did it, and it went well, and she continued to have me come on as a guest DJ. And the next thing you know, she started the Women in Salsa, and I started DJing for that as well. And next thing you know, I got picked up to join Ronna LeBlanc's group, then called Melau, and it just took off from there. It was definitely some fun times we had, and obviously that's how I met Helena. But it was definitely a lot of fun times. But I definitely attribute a lot of my startup through Eileen Torres because she definitely believed in me. So I definitely, big thanks to her. So,
John, do you think that in her scenario, you know, because I remember her telling me the story. Knowing Emily, how much I adore this woman, I think if it was me next to her and that person tried to sit there and do something, I would have gave them that stank look. I really would have. I would have like, what? I would have given them that look. I don't think I would have been, no, Emily, no. But do you think that if somebody, has someone ever done that to you where they would just come like, you play three songs, even though the promoter gave you an hour, do you think that, or has that ever happened to you, or what would you have done in that situation, or do you think anyone would even dare to try that with you? Because you're a big dude, and I'd still give you a stank look, but I'd give it once or twice and walk away.
Well, it happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened to Will, but it definitely happened to me at a particular Congress, and it was definitely, once again, I'm just starting out, trying to put my name out there. I really didn't know a lot of people, so this guy was one of the head DJs, and you know, it was just, you get that rush when you see people dancing to your music that you're playing, and I'm just getting this great feedback, and all of a sudden, within minutes of me playing, this guy comes up, it's like, all right, I got next. This next song is your last song. It's like, what? So who? What am I going to say? You know, once again, I'm not one of the head DJs, and you know, Congress is, you know, promoters, people are running around everywhere, so what am I going to do? I just said, okay, you know, but
I think, Emily, to be honest with you, when you were saying prove yourself, I feel that, you know, yeah, it's a great to get that rush, that opportunity, and, you know, get as many opportunities as you can to get yourself out there. It happens when you're an instructor, trying to get yourself out there, trying to get gigs, trying to get them to at least give you that opportunity to teach somewhere, maybe a big event. And sometimes it doesn't happen. It happens with, you know, being in a performance team. Teams want to get their names out there. They want to perform at venues or events. And sometimes
right.
they don't get that opportunity. So I never even really thought of it, like, as we're on the DJ side of it, they deal with the same thing.
Yeah.
They deal with the same thing. But, you know, on the team side, it's multi. It could be guys and girls. You know, it's just in general a team, but guys and girls, you know,
it's not really a big deal. But for a DJ, I think it's even harder because you're a female trying to put yourself out there. So it's just one, you're just one person versus
right.
being a team that has multiple people trying to get their, network or talk to who knows who or what, you know, whatever. But for you, you're just one person trying to get your name out there. I think it's really hard.
Yeah,
I think any, that's why I always feel like when I do see a female DJ, I give them props, whether salsa, bachata, or I don't think there is a bachata DJ, but salsa, house, hip hop, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And even with now that we're part of the Salsa Warriors and they have a few, you know, female DJs, and that's, you know, definitely making it an even playing field because it's allowing other female DJs to step up and play their music, you know, and what they want to hear. So it's definitely a great station. I mean, you got 24/7 salsa. You know, if you go to salsawarriors.com, they even have an app you can download. I mean, you know, yeah, and plus we have our own show. William on Thursday nights plays live from 10 to 11 p.m. at the Salsa Room, and you could definitely hear him on Salsa Warriors. Also on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m., you go to Salsa Warriors and you can hear us live as well. So, I mean, it's definitely ways to promote the love of salsa, and that's what Salsa Warriors is all about, is to continue to spread the love of salsa, both male and female DJs.
I think you guys need to have a battle of the sexes.
They always
every
been.
Day. Every day.
I think you need to do that.
Every day it's already happening.
I know, like it's already a battle. Now you want to throw music in the mix.
I wasn't talking about at home, I was talking about on the show.
I know. It's I don't know. That would be interesting. A battle of the sexes. I would want to say
I
a battle, because then you know I would more like, how would you even just, I would just say,
you just promoted, you, I think, you know what you should do is you should get, like, how many female DJs do you have out there? Then, you know, let's say you got four female DJs out there and you include it. So you got four female DJs and you pick four male DJs and then you have it out. So it's equal, even playing field right there. So then you
yeah.
go and do that. And
sure.
then, like, you know, let the viewers decide. You know, who threw down the hardest? I think you should do that.
What do you think?
That's
well, I mean,
idea.
Are you ready? Are you ready for a spanking?
What's that?
Come on now,
Will.
Come on.
I mean, Will, talking to you.
Yes, Helena. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah. So do you have anything you want to say as far as the topic, you know, as far as male DJs having it hard versus female DJs or in general, like some of the things you deal with?
I mean, in general, DJs have it hard in the beginning. I mean, if you're an unknown DJ and to get out there and get your music and get your experience out there, then, you know, everybody's always sketchy about that part of it. You know, your persona, the way you present yourself, is also another one. For the females, I mean, I would say it would be an advantage for the females. I mean, you guys always are, you know, maked up, dressed up, and all that business, and you are a better focal point as far as a person is concerned to
uh-huh.
be a DJ because everybody's looking at you.
Right.
As far as the sound, if that's all incorporated and everything's all good, you guys are probably could be one of the top of the chains, you know what I mean? But unfortunately, yeah, it's a male-dominated industry, and, you know, a lot of it is because of the – and I'm going to speak for myself because how I got into the industry wasn't DJing. How I got into the industry was my emceeing, and it was the voice and, you know, how strong it was and all that business.
Which
so,
is exactly how he got my attention.
Okay.
And you know, so in that, you know, it's a challenge just about, you know, all around.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, in the female side, you know, everything has been a challenge for you guys. You know, and then but it's the times are changing. Times are changing. And I think it's great. It's a great idea to have a collaboration between guys and girls, DJs, and see exactly, you know, and put you and put the, all, everybody out there, you know what I mean? And put the genders out there. And not to have more of a battle than more of a, like a collaboration, you know what I mean?
It's already a battle as it is, you know, especially as a woman, you're trying to prove yourself. I don't know, I just kind of get a little squirmish when I hear battle of the sexes. It's, you know, I'd rather like the word collaboration, like Will said, you know.
Okay.
Just to kind of enjoy it, make it more enjoyable, because when you start throwing the word out there such as battle, then it kind of gets, you know, all technical and, you know, it's not,
well,
to me, it's not as fun.
Okay. All right. So,
make it, we might,
know,
we want to make
collaboration,
it,
you know,
a fun into
flowers,
you know,
of
when
the
we do our show, we're always, you know, we're not battling each other. I'm like, well, this is Emily's set. You know what I mean? I step back.
Yeah.
And that's what DJs got to do, is DJs got to let other DJs give them the limelight and not per two songs or three songs. Give them the 30 minutes. You know what I mean? So in my organizing events also, you know, you have to give people a chance. You just can't just throw them and go, okay, man, the first song sucked. So, you know what I mean? Let's clean cup and keep going. You got to give people a chance and let them shine for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody can do that 100% of the time, but, you know, that's where you got to test. That's the only way you will know and get the new DJs on board. You know, none of us are getting any younger, especially me. So, you know, and my tastes are becoming different. So,
and that's what I was going to piggyback and say, you know, every DJ has different tastes, and also, you know, especially as a DJ, you really got to listen to the music and just take the time to really listen and study it and just enjoy it. And also try to learn what it is that they're saying. Because some people, you know, they just listen because it's got a fabulous beat. But then the lyrics are like, whoa. You know, so I think as a DJ, just try to just enjoy the music, love it, learn it, really get into it. I think that will definitely, you know, make you a better DJ. But, you know, like Will said, it takes time. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's true. Mambo Soul, thing you want to add to the fabulous duo, Hercules?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware that Hercules was in the over there with Emily at the time, so I'm excited that he called, or he's actually there. But do you have anything you want to say to Hercules or Emily Mambo Soul?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Emily, for calling once again. And what's up, Cool Herc? Thank you for calling in and checking in with us. First of all, Emily, and I'm going to tell you, honestly, I would not want to play on the same set as you. You know why? And here's the reason why, okay? I know you're going to bring it. And the reason why I say that is because if you are established as a DJ, you're a badass. You're a badass because you have to go through the sexism and you have to deal with it. So I know you're bringing fire. I know you're bringing fire. And one thing that guys don't want to do is look bad. Any DJ, it doesn't matter if you're a female or male, you don't want to look bad. And you know that because you have established as a DJ, I'm going to tell you straight up, before I even knew you as a person, I already knew about you from other DJs and other people. And it was like, yo, Emily, she's bad. And I believe them because there's not too many DJs out there. So you ones that are, you know they had to come correct because they wouldn't be there if they weren't. So I say that jokingly, but for real, I know that you have fire. But at the same time, I'm going to ask you this. You know, as a, you know, female instructor, not instructor, but a DJ, one of the things we talk about the respect factor, you know, you just getting established, you make yourself as a DJ, but do you have a problem of people taking you seriously? Like, you know, they're like, oh, you're a DJ, you know, they think that you're joking. Do you ever had that problem as you was coming up? or you just like, you know, people are like, okay, cool, you DJ, let's go ahead and put you on the ones and twos. Did they give you any problems thinking that they can't take you seriously?
Actually, no, I've been pretty, how can I say, taken back by some of the responses, that the faces that they made, like, oh, wow, a female DJ? That's what's up. I will say that I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from that, because you don't see a lot of female DJs. And when would see me play, it was like they would do a double take, and they're like, are you DJing? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, wow, that's what's up. That's awesome. So I definitely, fortunately, I've gotten a lot of great feedback from that, especially, you know, while I'm DJing.
And that's exactly what I was going to go with, is that it seemed like sometimes your disadvantage could be your advantage, because to me, I don't know about some of the other people out there, to have a female instructor, I think that's what's up. I tell Chica all the time, because she's always playing music and picking her songs. I'm like, you should be a DJ, because you got some. I listen to her playlist, and her songs are just crazy. And I'm like, you need to be a DJ, because, you know, number one, you don't see too many of them out there, you know. And the ones that do, and they play good music, that's like, that's hot. That's hot.
Right.
I mean, because you don't really find that. So in a way, it could work for you, but at the same time, it could work against you, because I think sometimes people may not take you as seriously, especially the ones that might have a little ego. You know, the ones that think that they're shit. I'm gonna say it. They're the shit.
Right.
They may, like, you know, go. They may do something to you that they don't do to cool Herc. Like, they may not. They may go on the computer, or they might check your CDs while you know without permission. Stuff of that sort. You know, they feel like they're empowered,
right,
and they might do something like that. So that's where I felt like the respect comes from. Or they may do what you said when you was playing, like, all right, you know, you play two songs, that's it, you're done. You know?
Right.
Maybe he just had an ego, maybe he just want to get his time in, because a lot of things could play into that, but that's what's up.
Right.
Anyway, I'm not going to keep you guys, because, you know, we got another person on hold, but real quick, Emily, give out your information. Let us know. You mentioned about a couple of the podcasts and some of the shows you're doing, and also tell what Herc is playing at. Share that with the people. Let us know how to come to your gigs or events. You got anything for us?
Okay, well, I mean, you're the one that's pretty much... I've actually, as far as DJing, I've stepped back. I still DJ from time to time, but Will...
She's my backup. She's my road woman. I'm
like, you better be nice, Will. You better be nice.
I know, I gave him a look. You're like...
I know, right? I'm being recorded. No, you know, and as far as Emily's concerned with me, you know, she's been my second-hand DJ, not second-hand DJ, but the person, my backup, you know what I mean? So she knows my system. She knows how I work and how I do. So I have no problem with her taking a set. She's done it at the Salsa Room, you know, and she's DJed with me at the Salsa Room, and she's gotten feedback there. So, but as far as both of us are concerned, I mean, we both have a business called Torches Entertainment, and we've been doing weddings like crazy. This has been our busiest year with that. You know, as far as me being a salsa DJ, I'm also an international DJ. So, you know, there's two phases of DJs. One is a research DJ that knows their songs and is passionate about the genre, about the song. And then there's other DJs that are actually breaking down the song and mixing it and blending it and doing what they got to do with the song itself to make the crowd flow.
Right.
So even with all that, you know, I kind of have that both sides of that whole thing. With Emily, she's more of a passionate genre salsa DJ. Though she, with her Zumba instructions, you know, she has that background also with international. So, but again, we're Torches Entertainment. As far as that, we're torches.com, which is T-O-R-R-C-H-E-Z, right?
You can also find us on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram.
Yeah, Emily's posting everything on Instagram, so if you see her going through there.
And it's called Torches, T as in Tom, O-R-R-C-H-E-Z.
.com. you know, as far as the salsa room, I've been there for near 10 years now. So the salsa room has been my backbone as far as DJing in the DMV over here. And surprisingly, they took me on very quickly. So, and then with the salsa room, I'm there Thursdays with Viviendo Salsa. And, you know, there isn't a lot of people that go there, but that's good for me because I like the 100 to 200 people that go there. You have room to dance. It's not like you have 500 or 600 people there, you know. So you guys could do your turns, you could do your all the stuff that you want to do as far as the salsa dancer is concerned. Of course, with Friday with salsa versus bachata, and the reason that happened is because I was the salsa DJ, and you know others became the bachata DJ. So that was the battle in the salsa.
Oh, wow.
Other than that, for the last 2 years, we've been incorporated into Salsa Warriors. And Salsa Warriors started in New York. I just so happened to have stumbled upon it with Emily, actually. So she's like, hey, you know, there's this great station on the internet called Salsa Warriors, and, you know, they're coming up, and it was Que Viva la Musica with Vicky Sola. And then they were asking for DJs to donate. You know, if you donated, you could DJ onto the show. So I happened to donate, and then he called me. He's like, hey, you know, if you want to do a set or whatever, you know, just
well,
come right back
on. Well,
to
clarify, he, you know, if you donate a certain amount, then you can go and be their guest DJ for the whole show. So he actually gave that amount, and when we first aired with them, was it 2 years ago? And we've just, you know, we've created a really good friendship, and we've been part of the Salsa Warriors for the past, what, year and a half now?
It's going to be 2 years now.
So yeah.
Yeah. With that, you know, it gave me an opportunity to break out through my salsa genre passion and really put it out there, you know what I mean? Hardcore salsa, things people don't play, and some of that I call danceable but kind of sometimes too fast or sometimes too slow or sometimes too long, I can play this on the Salsa Warriors,
right.
and people will come feedback and like, wow. So, you know, with our show being Sundays 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on SalsaWarriors.com, it was surprising to me because we were able to monitor how many listeners we had, and in one shot, we had 80,000 listeners around the world.
Holy
and
crap.
It's everywhere.
Wow.
You can actually monitor. They have a system where you can actually go and see throughout the world, like, who's listening via
That's
internet,
crazy.
That app. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. So with
That's
that, this
so
year,
cool.
On top of me being part of the Salsa Warriors, our other business, Torches Entertainment, doubled our business.
Yeah.
So we were blessed. We were blessed with having both things happening at the same time. So, but yeah, you know, that's where we're at this point. And everybody knows me as William Hercules on Facebook. So you see me there. I'm posting everything wherever I am. So. And then we have I'll be the executive DJ for the DC Salsa Bachata Festival in October 20th through the 24th.
Nice.
So once you see all that and check it out, then you know I'll be there, being the head
I'll be
of
there
the whole
I'll be
DJ.
There too.
So yeah,
all right,
that's
well,
my festival.
Thank you guys. I loved having you. You guys are like my heart. Emily, don't kill Will, because we need him at the salsa room.
No, she's feeding me. Believe me, she's keeping me alive.
Whatever.
Yeah, and
I have a love for you too, Helena.
Congratulations on your company doubling, and that's a great success story right there. So I expect to come over to your home for dinner, and.
When we
have
are home.
Wine to celebrate that. But definitely love having you guys out there. Mambo, so do you have anything else you want to say before I say goodbye to our friends?
No, I just want to thank you guys for calling. It's good seeing you guys. Well, it would be nice to see you guys. I know, Hercules, you're busy like I am, and Emily, you're holding it down. So we got to catch up one of these days.
Let's do.
You know, because I'm telling you, you know, we all one family. So I just want to thank you guys for calling in and checking in with us.
Absolutely. Good hearing from you guys.
Great hearing from you all.
The show is great. We've been hearing it.
Thank you.
Excellent. So.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, like I was saying before earlier, one thing about DJs and, you know, DJs, we're one family. We have, like, friendly competition on all different levels. And, you know, one of the things that I know, you know, because when you know there's a woman or somebody that's non-Latino, you know you have to pay special attention to them because they are in a minority. Within a minority culture, and you know, in order for them to be on that level, you know they're good. So when you see, when I know Emily, and I heard about Emily a long time ago, I remember when I think it was my man DJ Steve Green, he was like, "Yo, Emily, yo, watch out for her. She got fire." And he said that in a good way because he was like, "Yo, you gonna play with her? You got to watch out for her because she bringing nothing but fire." So, you know, one DJ, you don't want to get outplayed by another DJ. And I know just for the fact that she's a female DJ, you have to pay close attention to them because they're the best DJs. Because they have to go through adversity, just because they have to go through a lot of hardship and people don't take them lightly, they out to prove themselves, and the way they come out swinging hard. So that's why I said, I don't want to play your set, because if I play your set, you're going to make me look bad because you're going to come out with fire, and no DJ don't want to look bad. So hats off to Emily. Hats off to Dixie. All the female DJs out there. Marisol out there in New York. We play together out in Atlanta, Hot Atlanta Congress. I love you, miss you. So, you know, big ups to them.
Well, I really enjoyed having everybody that we had on the show, and people that weren't able to, Dixie, she wasn't able to call in, but she posted a comment here. We lost a few callers. Sorry about that. But, you know, if you get disconnected or have to take a call, you can always call back in. We'll plug you back in when we can. Definitely enjoyed having this conversation. Irene brought a lot of things to the table, let us see things in through her eyes, and it was great. I was able to relate to what she was talking about because I've experienced it, and I know she's talking about. And it was great. I got to hear Emily speak on her point of view and your point of view. I think today was a great subject to tackle, but. Yeah, definitely want to probably bring this subject later on down the road, bring it back up if we can. But, yeah, definitely had a really good time tonight. I'm excited about the next week and what we're going to do.
Yeah, real quick, we had Dixie. She's a DJ as well. I mean, we mentioned her earlier, and I gave her a shout-out. She was just telling us a little bit of her experiences out in Ohio, I believe, and she mentioned too about the respect factor, how, you know, guys were just going. She plays vinyl, one of the few ladies that do play vinyl. She played vinyl, and guys were just going through her stuff. It's totally disrespectful, because the first thing is you have to ask them, hey, can you, is it okay to look at your records? And they just start remembering have I ever experienced that? Not necessarily, but I did have people go through my record personally because of my record. But that's what's up. So that's real quick. And also, Dola said something. He just wanted to give the master. He said something funny. So check us out. Anyway, that's going to be me, DJ Mama Soul. If you want to know more information about me, come check me out on Facebook. My page is DJ Mama Soul. Just use gmail.com. All right. Helena, you got anything else?
No, you can find me on Facebook as well. Helena Mambosera. Just if you're not friends with me on Facebook, all you do have to do is type in Helena Mambo and I'll pop up. I'm pretty sure we have a lot of same friends. But again, if you have any questions that you felt that didn't get addressed, or you know you want, or even subjects that you want us to address, like in the next few episodes, inbox me or inbox Mumble Soul, and we'll take that because we want to bring some more people out to our show, and we also want more topics. So we're always like chiming in with our friends, people on the scene, promoters. Everybody we know, we're like, you know, watching some of the things that are on Facebook, you know, hot topics. So definitely chime in with us, post a comment. Even if you're not one that wants to actually get on the phone, feel free to comment while we're actually on the show. We're checking it out because my laptop's in front of me, and so is Mumble Soul. So definitely keep telling your friends, spread the word. And as far as that, I'm done for anything else I have to say. Definitely want to thank Mumble Soul for being my co-pilot here, or pilot here, captain. And then we'll see you guys next week. That's it for now. So remember, South in the City, real talk, bringing the community together one beat at a time.